Good morning, everybody. It is Teresa from Sojourn Retreat House, and our teaching today, which is the 27th of November 2023, is titled Distracting Distractions. What is a distraction? The dictionary defines distraction as a thing that prevents someone from concentrating on something else. It also says it's a diversion or a recreation. And then my personal favorite, and I am going to be referring to this one a bit later in our teaching, it refers to it as an extreme agitation of the mind, a state of anxiety or nervous excitement. The important thing to know, though, is that there will always be distractions. They are bound to come, they are inevitable, and many times they are unavoidable. But another thing I want to stress very, very much today is that we are in control, or at least we should be in control, of what our distractions are. Never before have I been more distracted than when I started this building project. Every week, and sometimes daily, there have been things that have come up that have taken place and taken my focus off what needs to be done. An example is that 2 weeks ago, my horse was sick, and it took me an entire day to sort him out. I have had to take my dog and cat to the vet twice that same week each, and I had to take a family member to the hospital for a procedure which took up most of my day. I even got a business offer which was very appealing. And as you know, I was unable to send out my weekly devotion for 2 weeks now. I was so frustrated and tired, and looking back, there is nothing I could have changed because these things had to get done and no one else could do them. But then I noticed something that made my situation 10 times worse, and that is what I'm wanting to address today. But before I get to that, I'm sure that you are going to agree with me that for there to be a distraction, there has to have been a focus. So in my case, it's easy to know what that focus is. I need to be focused enough to finish this building project. You might have a business to run or a career, or perhaps you are a homemaker or a student. Again, those things are easy to identify. Over and above that, we have things every day that we struggle with: load shedding, the upcoming elections, the current state of our country. But I want to speak to you again today, or speak to you today, about a deeper purpose in life. And these are all revealed in the Word of God. Now, there's many things that are mentioned, but I want to look at two things. And that is in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40, it says, Jesus said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself." As you know, this is the new commandment that was given to us. I want to just add in Joshua 1 verse 8, and it's about the word of God. It says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." And already I know I've lost a couple of people because many will say that they just don't have time to do this. I remember talking to somebody about this a couple of years ago, and I was trying to stress how important it was. And the points that this person brought up are valid. So listen to this. He said to me, "How am I meant to do this? Because in reality, I need to earn a living." So what he went on to say is that he can't sit around reading his Bible or walk around looking for people to love and minister to. And in fact, in my case, even in my walk, I have found that there's been times when I've looked at other people that are very involved in ministry and I've desired to do more. You know, when people are reaching people, touching lives, winning souls, and even doing food kitchens and stuff, I desire to do that more. But when I look at my life, I don't know where I would fit it in. There's even been times when I've seen somebody that's really connected to God, that is able to hear him at the drop of the hat. And I think to myself, I want to get to that point. But realistically, when I look at my life, I can't find where I'm going to fit that in. But here's the thing. I mentioned earlier that I made my current situation that I was in, so an already chaotic week that was so full of distractions already, I made it 100 times worse. And I'm going to get to that again. But before I do that, I want to just point out to you that when we look at the word distraction and we look at words that are opposite to the word distraction, it is the following. It is peace, calmness, calm, order, serenity, and peacefulness. This got me thinking because I cannot tell you the last time I felt any of that. And so let me paint you a picture. The scenario that I had was that I was already chaotic, I was stressed, and so I decided that I was going to, but let me first, sorry, let me just get back to this. The word of God actually gives us the answer on how we can find that peace. When you look in Mark 6, verse 31, verse to 34, and this is actually our ministry verse that I mean the verse that our ministry is based on, it says, Jesus said to his disciples, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many that were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat." Does that sound familiar? That is certainly where I was 2 weeks ago. In Psalms 46, verse 10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God." And in Isaiah 26, verse 3, it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." And so again, I had head knowledge of this. And in fact, I know all of this, and I was going to do all of this, but what I did was made a decision that took me on a totally different trajectory. So what I decided was that I was going to watch one program. I was just going to, what would you call it, veg out. I was going to unplug. I was just going to watch one program and then go and do all of this. And what ended up happening was the moment I put my TV on, there was a suggestion for me. I don't know if you've seen this. It says, based on the fact that you watched this program, I think that you would like this. And something sparked my interest because it was a series I'd watched years ago and there was a new season. So what happened was that I ended up watching 4.5 hours of TV. And that in itself is not necessarily bad, but I want to point out to you that at the same time, a friend of mine had sent me a YouTube video, and I'm not exaggerating now, and I know that a lot of you can relate to this. She sent me a YouTube video, and after watching the video, while watching the series, another video was very, very conveniently put there by YouTube with a similar theme because it would interest me, and so I ended up watching that. And then it became a string of videos. So understand, I'm now watching a series, and I'm watching a string of videos. In my defense, the videos were Christian-based. And there came a point where there was something that I wanted to research because it was really interesting. And so what I did then is I went on to Google, and as wonderful as Google is, that had a whole lot of little teasers on the homepage that were trying to vie for my attention. And I was just about to click on something that looked very interesting, a story, and I found myself stopping myself in that instant because I realized that it was another rabbit hole that I was going down. None of what I'm telling you now is exaggerated, and I know that you can relate with me, relate to what I'm saying. In fact, I've even found myself in church at times making notes for myself, to-do lists, or even checking my emails. We've all gotten to a place where we're doing multiple things at the same time. A while ago, I watched a documentary, and it was all about this exact point where the people for and it's all on the internet, TVs, it can be anything. They've designed algorithms which watch or monitor what you watch, and based on that, they actually send you stuff all the time. And the main purpose of that is to keep you fixated for as long as possible. You know, on TV, it makes me so sad sometimes, but some of these series, they'll tell you binge-worthy, and it's exactly that. They want you to sit and binge for hours on TV. If you look at the TV, like I said, it gives you suggestions, news feeds, TikTok, Facebook, and internet, even the games, or any one of these things can keep you fixated and busy for the rest of your life. Or better stated, as long as you allow it to. On a side note, I also want to mention that I don't know if you've noticed it, but there's definitely an upturn in people distractions as well. You can have planned your week, you can have planned your day, and somebody will just rock up and take over your entire day. And I've started learning to really push back when it comes to that. And so remember when I said to you that distractions are inevitable, they are bound to happen. I want to just reiterate again that we have control over what distracts us, specifically and particularly today. And I'm not talking about the things that need to be done, which I mentioned right in the beginning of my talk, but these other things that are just thrown at us every single day, we have control over those. But how do we do this? Surely we can't just then remove ourselves completely from society after a full day's work and have no fun whatsoever. No, I honestly don't believe that that is what God expects. However, when we find ourselves in a place where we have no balance in our lives, where there is absolute chaos, and where there is no peace, I believe that that's when we need to, and particularly as well, when you're not hearing God's voice, I believe that is when we need to take stock and see what those distractions are in our lives. You know, I have even gotten to the point where I've distracted myself with Christian content, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's good. It's probably better than TV. But having said that, there's got to come a time where you can pull yourself aside, spend time with God, and hear from Him yourself what He is saying to you. Something that was revealed to me as well is that, and that I'm going to try and intentionally apply to my life, is that I'm going to from now on choose what I allow to distract me and not the other way around. I'm not going to allow people to just throw things at me because I have a purpose in life and on this earth, and my purpose has an eternal value. And we should all start thinking that way. None of these man-made distractions that I've mentioned now have eternal value. In fact, they are so fleeting. If I had to ask you what you watched last week on TV, never mind the content, you won't even be able to tell me what it was that you watched. They are not remembered the following day. I believe that this is Satan's biggest success story. He has succeeded in keeping us so busy that there is no place for the most important things. Think about it. How much godly wisdom and discernment have we missed in our lives because we haven't spent time with him? We haven't loved him the way that he wants us to. We haven't put him first. And so we've looked to the world for our answers. Even more sad, how many people on our life's journey have we missed or overlooked that are in need of us and touching their lives because we are so occupied with other stuff? How many of our relationships are suffering because there's just no time to connect? Go to any restaurant today and you'll see people will be sitting on a date, couples on a date on their phones, or families all playing games or something on their phone. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says, "Guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flows the issues of life." I'm telling you today that we need to understand that life is short and that we have so little time to do what we are meant to do. And it's only much later that we're going to realize how much time we have lost. This area that I'm talking to you about today is highly addictive. It is very subtle, and yet it is incredibly destructive. We can learn so much from the Bible. Jesus was so focused on what he needed to do. If you think about the story at the well, he came to encounter that lady, and he did not allow hunger or the pursuit of food when his disciples went to look for food to distract him. Another good example in Nehemiah 6 verse 30, and this is Nehemiah who went to go and build the wall of Jerusalem for his people. Listen to how he puts off distraction. He says, "So I sent a message to them, and he said, 'I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop so that I can come down to you?'" The irony is that the more things we tackle simultaneously, the less we do a good job. And in fact, the more we focus on what we're doing, and if we could give it our undivided attention, we would be able to give out a spirit of excellence. There would be a spirit of excellence and a quality to our work. And that in itself is a godly principle, which is going to set us apart from the rest of the world that just allows the world to seduce them and throw things at them that keep them busy. Don't let other people write your life story. Start being purposeful, be intentional, guard yourself. And I want to tell you today that no one else can do this for you. It's something that you have to do for yourself. One last question. When last have you spent time just being still, with no phone, no TV? Better put, when last have you felt absolute peace? The peace that God speaks of in His Word that transcends all understanding. I haven't for a long time. And this is when I want to refer back to that definition of distraction where it says, extreme agitation of your mind. I was noticing that that was my constant state of affairs. I was constantly in an extreme agitation of my mind. But I desire this peace. And I know for a fact that there's time for the important things. There's time for God. There's time for other people. And there's time to focus on the purpose for what we were put on earth to do. But we have to make time. It's not going to happen automatically, particularly in today's life. We need to learn to push back. We need to put boundaries in place. We need to be intentional. It is vital for us to remove the idle things so that our short lives are purposeful. Otherwise, what is the point of us being here? In closing, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 is such a heartbreaking verse, but listen to this. He says, "I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to the Lord. Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "And you will seek me and you will find me when you search me with all your heart." So I'm going to ask you today to be faithful with your time and what you do with it. And this week, as you go into it, there's even tools on your phone. I didn't know this, but there's even an app on your phone. It's called a wellness app. You can go onto it and it'll actually tell you exactly how much time you're spending in all the apps on your phone. It's incredible. It's actually very eye-opening. And maybe do a brown paper exercise. Write down for a couple of days what you do with every single hour of your day. And I think it's going to shock you to see how much time you actually have to do the good things that we were put on earth to do. Have an awesome week. I'm also going to be attaching a video for you, which I think is also a little bit of food for thought. It certainly was convicting to me. And then I'm also going to, oh, and I just want to say, I know this is a bit longer, but I know I haven't sent a devotional for 2 or 3 weeks. So I just want to ask that you bear with me. This is such a heavy topic, but it is something that I'm noticing is becoming a huge problem. And I certainly was very convicted. So for the rest of this week, I hope you have a very awesome and blessed week, and we'll chat again next week. Goodbye.